February is a short month, but the last quarter of it has been designated Eating Disorders Awareness Week. That describes just about every week for Hale Kashani, who is president of Eating Disorders Recovery Support Incorporated, the Bay Area nonprofit that is hosting a two-day conference on that subject today and tomorrow in Petaluma. Eating disorders are primarily psychological, but have a direct physiological consequence, Kashani explains, and they come in a fairly broad spectrum.
Skipping meals, dieting, chronic dieting, weight loss, weight gain, back and forth, which we're all a lot familiar with. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum goes to eating disorders, anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorders. These are the only conditions, anorexia nervosa and bulimia, are the only psychiatric condition that actually have a mortality associated with them.
These disorders often begin with concerns about body image, Kashani says. But the more severe forms can create a sort of psychological dependence on the behavior.
It starts out as a food and weight issue, wanting to look good, wanting to be accepted, wanting to fit in, and wanting to comply with the standards that society has set for what's acceptable. But what happens is that eating disorder becomes a way of being in the world. It's a way of coping with emotions. So you have a stressful situation, and one way of coping with that for somebody with anorexia is to not eat all day, or somebody with bulimia is to go home to binge and purge, or somebody with compulsive overeating is to compulsively overeat. So it becomes a coping mechanism.
These are complex conditions, she adds, with a number of contributing factors.
There is a medical component, psychological component, a genetic component. As our knowledge is increasing about this area, we have found out there are actually a genetic association with this condition, and it tends to run in families, as well as it has medical repercussions that can be fatal.
Overwhelmingly, the individuals struggling with these disorders are adolescent and teenage girls and young women. But Kashani says they are also on the rise among many other segments of the population, including men.
10 to 15% of people with eating disorders are boys and men now. The irony for men is that they have to be thin, but they have to be muscular. So that's very hard to have, because once you become in a state of emaciation, starvation that comes with anorexia, you lose your muscles. So that's where then men are exposed to using drugs such as steroids to build muscles.
Until about 30 years ago, eating disorders were fairly infrequent. But the surge since then sent researchers scrambling to identify beneficial interventions. One of the most successful, Kashani reports, is group therapy.
Groups tend to create a healing atmosphere, because oftentimes eating disorder is a secretive condition that there's a lot of shame associated with. So people may be suffering from it for many years, but they don't talk about it. Being in a group where you can hear other people's stories and other people's struggles and successes can have a real significant healing impact.
With early identification and treatment, Kashani says, it is often possible to achieve 100% recovery. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.